One of them is as big as a house.
Ameritech Property Management.
Okay, so my house smells like something out of a horror movie. It's like something
died. You guys sent me a violation notice in the mail. It says my lawn is unsightly. What the hell does that mean?
If you guys think that you're going to take my house, you got another thing coming. You're going to put a lien on my house for $20?
That's right. Everything you ever wanted to know about condominium living or deed-restricted communities. Good afternoon and welcome to the Ameritech Connection radio talk show on the TAN Talk Radio Network. Do you live in a condo or deed-restricted community? Do you have issues concerning the do's and the don'ts in your community? Have you been getting into trouble with your community association or management company? Got questions but just can't get the answers? Well, we cover it all and much more right here and right now on the Ameritech Connection. Hi, I'm Mike Perez, the CEO of Ameritech Property Management and your host for the Ameritech Connection. And sitting right next to me is my co-host, the beautiful and talented Miss Sharon Van Winkle. Sharon is also the Director of Marketing for Ameritech Property Management and has over 10 years of experience dealing with these, at times, very difficult situations. So with that in mind and without further ado, here's Sharon.
Thanks, Mike. We have an exciting one-hour show for you here today, so please keep listening and call us with your questions because we have all the answers. The local number is 727-441-3000. That is 727-441-3000. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-866-826-1340. Again, that's 1-866-826-1340. Did you know that Ameritech Property Management manages over 25,000 homes in the Tampa Bay area? And that means we have a lot of experience dealing with a lot of different issues. We've been managing condominium and deed-restricted communities for over 20 years, and now we've decided to host our own radio talk show to discuss and educate you, our listeners, on the do's and the don'ts regarding community living. Oh yeah, not to mention the crazy and off-the-wall stories you're hear only on the Ameritech Connection radio talk show.
Good afternoon, folks. We have a very interesting guest here today, and we're going to talk all about pools, jacuzzis, how to keep them clean, what happens if somebody defecates in the pool, or our biggest problem is residents that are peeing in the pool. Does that blue dye really work to catch people peeing in the pool, or is it just a myth? What about mustard algae, or have you ever had a ring around the tub? How about a ring around your pool that just won't come off? That and much more right here and right now on the Ameritech Connection.
Thanks, Mike. Our guest today is Mike Hall, and he's the founder of Gulfside Pool and Spa, serving the Tampa Bay area since 2004. Gulfside is fully insured and state licensed, and they specialize in the maintenance of residential and commercial pools. They also are considered to be one of the best in repairing and replacing swimming pool equipment. And with Mike's 26 years of experience, you won't ever have to wonder if his excellent staff is really doing what they said they would do, because their goal is to be totally honest when it comes to evaluating your pool needs. And they will never push services on you that aren't required. We like hearing that, Mike. Welcome to the show.
Hello, everybody.
Okay, let's just get started. And Mike, would you like to tell us a little bit about your company and what you guys actually do?
Absolutely. The main thing that we actually do is the maintenance and repair of commercial and residential swimming pools. And on occasion, we might do a remodel here or there, but, you know, that's on occasion.
So okay. you clean pools, right? I mean, you got a southern kind of accent.
Well, I am from Atlanta.
Oh,
originally.
You're from Atlanta. Okay.
Yes, yes.
So what do they do? So you clean pools. Tell us about the proper way to clean a pool.
Well, the proper way to really clean the pool, the first thing is you want to have the proper chemical balance, because that's actually important for you and the family's health. And then, of course, you want to maintain your equipment properly.
What is the proper chemical balance? I mean, yeah. I see them putting the tubes in there. In fact, I used to do it myself when I cleaned my own pool, but now I got a pool service, so it's been a while. But what is that proper?
Do you have a Gulfside pool, by the way? The answer would be yes.
No, I don't. I'm sorry.
Why not?
Well, I'm sorry, Mike.
Wait a minute. What's going on here?
You know? Well, you're out of Tampa, right?
Well, yes, but
yes,
we service Pinellas County.
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm
no
very cheap, so
here.
Yeah.
Well, we can work with you. We can work with you.
All right. Anyways, so what is the chemical balance? I mean, what is that all about?
Well, It's a little bit in depth, but if you give me just a minute, I'll be happy to explain.
Go ahead.
You got a minute.
Most pool professionals will check with a Taylor Professional Test Kit, which is a miniature version of what you'll see at a good, and I stress the word good, local pool store. What the main thing you're testing for is free available chlorine, your pH, your alkalinity, your calcium, and your stabilizer. And just to give you a quick explanation, your chlorine is your sanitizer. That's what keeps the water clean. Your pH is the scale of acidity. And the book refers to the alkalinity as a buffer for the pH. But I guess in layman's terms, the best way to explain that would be, think of your house as the pH. Think of the foundation of the house as the alkalinity. If the foundation is straight, then more than likely your house is straight. But if the foundation is crooked, then obviously your house will probably be crooked. That's kind of how alkalinity affects pH.
So there's a lot of crooked pools out there, unless, of course, they have Gulfside Pool and Spa doing the services, right?
Well, we run into our fair share. but yes, they and then the calcium, and that's one thing that a lot of people that take care of their own pool do kind of neglect to their detriment, because adding calcium periodically to the water does actually a myriad of things. Number one, it helps to save the life of the pool surface. Number two, it adds more dissolved salts to the water, which actually holds the alkalinity steadier, which alkalinity holds the pH steadier. Plus, also, it actually makes for a little bit better quality swimming experience.
Yeah. Now, I have pool service, and they come out every 2 weeks, and it just seems for years all they do is put 1 gallon of chlorine in there. So does that sound like they're really doing their job, or is it just a almost perfect pool?
Well, I mean, it really depends on how much you're swimming. And, of course, a lot of it's generated by Mother Nature. But if they're doing their job, they are checking all your chemicals. They're kind of doing you wrong if they don't balance all your chemicals.
Okay.
Interesting.
So, you know, how do you actually clean or maintain the pools or spas or jacuzzis?
Well spa and jacuzzis, it's kind of like pools?
Well, a spa is a little bit different because most people don't want, you know, not unless it's a built-in spa, like in the ground, you usually use bromine instead of chlorine because, you know, when chlorine, it'll have too harsh of a smell if you put it in really hot water, which usually you have in a hot tub. So you
and I would imagine that might change the color of your bathing suit, right? Would it?
Most definitely.
Yeah, okay.
Most definitely.
Definitely if you dye your hair, definitely your hair.
It'll turn, green if you have blonde hair?
I haven't seen green, but I have seen orange.
Have you really?
Interesting. I've seen green.
Yeah. All right, I got a question for you. Let's say somebody defecates in the pool. I mean, maybe a baby. Ooh. I mean, there's a lot of people that swim in the pool, and they bring a lot of children in there, and they have diapers, and sometimes they come off or whatever the case may be. Can you just scoop it out of the pool? And
you had that problem?
No, I never pooped in the pool. Really, I never did.
Sounds like a good party. Why wasn't I invited to this party? Wait a minute.
You know? I don't know that I would want to be invited to a pool party in a pool. No. Right?
It's like you say, right, Georgia, Tommy? Yeah. Well, when you get that crazy, that's like puking rowdy, you know? I mean, hey, you know, that's a good party right there. Not a party till something gets broke, you know?
Can you just scoop it out, or do you got to clean the pool?
Well, I mean, you can just scoop it out, but if it were me, and of course you knew the kid, you know, like it's your son or, you know, nephew or whatever.
Well, just because you know him doesn't mean like, well, his poop is okay, but that kid over there?
Yeah, I mean, how do you sanitize the pool?
Well,
is this a community pool, for instance?
If it's a community pool, then what you want to do is you want to call the health department. You want to report it. Close the pool immediately, then have the health inspector come out. They'll probably recommend a drain, give the pool a light acid wash, refill it, and rebalance the water. And that way it's assured that there's no, you know, E. coli or anything that might be in the so-called poop, you know, or pink eye gets in the water. You know?
Yeah. All right. Well, we talked about number two. Let's talk about number one. Every community has its problems. And of course, there are residents that, you know, pee in the pool. So it is a problem. With some of the communities that we manage. So how can we stop that?
I hate to say it, but it's a lot of the retirement community.
Yeah.
The older folks get in the pool.
They get blamed anyways, probably their grandchildren. But
they pee in the pool.
Now, mine, you know? If they're older, their bladder doesn't work.
Well, no, sometimes they
just can't move fast enough to get to the
Well, I have empathy in situations like that, but I just wouldn't want to be standing next to them, you know?
Of course, of course.
I mean, it suddenly gets warm.
So what do we do about, what kind of suggestions? Would you make?
Well, I mean, of course you want to try to be as diplomatic as possible, you know, because you want to take good care of our elderly. But, you know, in a circumstance like that, I think if it was repeated, I think maybe some strong words.
No, we know that. We do that as a property manager.
How do you take
care of the pool when somebody pees in it?
Keep an excess amount of sanitizer in it.
Did you used to do property management at one time?
Almost feel like it sometimes.
All right. So now we talked a little bit about the chemical balance of a pool. What lack thereof makes a pool turn green? I mean, we see a lot of pools that are green. It's probably the lack of proper cleaning or proper chemical balance, right?
Well, it could be a number of things. The main thing really is total improper care of the pool.
Well, the sun sucks the chlorine out of the pool, right?
Right, yeah. Right. Now, the number one thing that's been happening here in the Tampa Bay area is the introduction of phosphates into our drinking water. Phosphates is something that the county puts into the water to basically help beat down the corrosion in the plumbing. But unfortunately, when a residual gets up in your pool, the chlorine does not kill it. So you have to use some phosphate remover to go ahead and remove that. And the phosphate remover actually works as what's called a sequestering agent. So what it does is you pour it into the pool. It does turn the pool white for about a half a day to a day. It's recommended you stay out of the pool.
Cloudy, right?
Right. Yeah. Because what it's doing is sequestering. It's grabbing a hold of all the phosphates and nitrates.
Right. Okay.
And then what the filter can't take out settles down to the bottom of the pool.
Then you just vacuum it up.
Vacuum it
and
away.
For those pools with a little, trees and plants next to it, I had this happen, and you put fertilizer down, just a little bit of breeze gets that in the pool, and it'll immediately turn green.
Absolutely, because the active ingredient in fertilizers are phosphates.
Okay,
You got too many plants around your pools.
Exactly, so get rid of those. So I've heard of the mustard algae and the black algae. So how do you get rid of those, and what's the worst form of algae?
The worst form of algae is the latter that you just mentioned.
Yeah, the black
algae. Because actually you'll see just a little black dot or a big black quarter-size spot. What you see is like an iceberg. You see a tenth of it, 9/10 of it's rooting underneath the surface.
Oh.
Left untreated for a good period of time, it'll start to crack up the surface of the pool. So what you want to do I'll go ahead and share one of my little secrets here. That I learned this from a PhD chemist, actually, is you want to treat it on a two-prong attack. Of course, you want to make sure that the chlorine is higher than normal. Make sure nobody's going to swim in the pool, of course, for about 7 to 10 days.
So you're going to shock the pool is what you're going to say?
Yes. Yeah. Generic word would be shock the pool
real heavily.
Okay. Then you want to actually brush with a steel tip brush all those black spots. So you're basically knocking off the head of it. Then you want to basically turn off the pump, sprinkle actually 99% trichlor granules on that, let it sit for a little while, then go ahead and turn the system back on once that's settled, and then very slowly you want to add a product called silver aldicide into the skimmer with the pump on and let that circulate. Now that's why you want to keep everybody out of the pool for at least a week, because the silver aldicide is highly toxic.
So you got to be careful.
Well, what that does is ensures that all the surface is dead, then the silver actually penetrates in and actually will kill all the roots.
Wow, interesting. Interesting.
I've used that same program for, I would say 14 plus years, and it's never failed me yet.
Okay. All right, good. Hey, we've got a couple callers on the line, right, Tommy?
That is correct. You have Gail.
All right.
A pool question.
Hi, Gail. You've got the Ameritech connection here. What's your question?
Hey, guys. Well, I live in a condo association, and I take my kids to go swimming, and my neighbor keeps peeing in the pool, you know, and I'm standing right next to to her.
Oh, my God.
That's what we were just talking about.
Gail, don't stand next to her. What's wrong?
I can feel the warmth and she denies it every time I talk down on her.
Oh, my goodness.
You need to have a talk with that woman. But anyway, Mike, what do you think?
Now, Mike gave us some property management advice on how to deal with that one.
But how to, you know, have a gentle but strong talk with that person. But go ahead, Mike.
Well, I would actually be rather assertive to your friend there and say, you know, I'm feeling rather uncomfortable with the situation. Do you think we could come to a meeting of minds and maybe come up with a situation to where this might not happen?
Gail, did you talk to her or say anything to her? Like,
I called her out in front of the whole
team. Oh, my goodness. She probably felt terrible, huh?
Well, this was the third time this has happened.
Well, is there a dye that you can actually use that will show?
You know, I've seen that on TV, Sharon, but I do not have availability to it at any of the pool distributors. I sure wish there was, but then again, I'd probably embarrass quite a lot of people if I put that in the water. So,
does that stuff actually work, though?
Well, I mean, you know, in TV land, yes, it does, but in real life, I've never seen it, you know.
In TV land, like what, condo cops?
There you go. Yeah, condo cops. That's it.
Anyways, well, Gail.
Well, Gail, thank you so much for calling in. I'm sorry you got that problem, and maybe just have another talk with her.
Yeah, I'm not sure we answered your question, but you know, I think maybe.
I'm going to put her picture up like a mugshot.
Oh, my goodness, don't do that. Get a hold of your board or your management company, and maybe they'll send her a nice, delicate letter to stop peeing in the pool.
All right, Gail.
Thanks,
guys.
Have a great evening.
Thanks for calling, Gail. All right, Mike. How many times a week should a pool be cleaned or serviced? I mean, what is that?
On a residential pool, once a week usually is enough to suffice. On a commercial pool, like for a condo association, it's strongly recommended to do it a minimum of 3 times a week for the health and public safety.
Right. Interesting.
Okay. So how long should – this is interesting because – your pool pump, how long should that run on a daily basis? Because I know I have a neighbor and it frickin' seems to run 24 hours
a
day.
And it's very loud.
Oh. So it's annoying. So on the average, I mean, does it depend on how much sun it gets or how many trees are? I don't know.
Well, I can tell you specifically, here in the Tampa Bay area, you know, there's two different ways to run your pump, and it's determined by summer or winter because we really don't have a fall or a spring.
Well, the sun's a big factor, right?
Right. So it goes actually by the water temperature. It's summertime is considered when the water temperature is 78 degrees or higher. Of course, the opposite, you know, when it's below. Summertime, it is strongly recommended to run your pump from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Okay.
And now in the winter months, when the water temperature is constantly below 78 degrees, run it from 10 to 4.
Interesting. Now, okay. Here's a question for you. You know, we've all had those rings around our tub, right, Sharon? And
never.
You have a ring around a tub, Sharon?
Never.
What about the ring?
I must be thinking about yours.
What about the ring around a pool? You know, how do you get rid of it? I mean, there's been rings. I know I had a ring around my pool, and I just couldn't get rid of it.
Well, at Gulfside, we actually kind of import a product that's actually made in Canada. It's called SR3. It's quite expensive, but it actually works real well on that tile. And, of course, if the tile hasn't been scrubbed for a while, you're going to have to give us a little while to get it back into shape.
Right. Is that like a wire brush or something?
No. Wire brush will take the laminate off the tile. Better just to go ahead and use a good scrub brush or maybe like a good horsehair brush. If it's really, really bad, you know, just, you know, be safe with it. But, you know, you might even try a little Comet.
Little Comet, huh?
Yeah.
Really? Well, that's abrasive.
It is, but that's in the worst case scenarios.
Okay. All right. So when you heat your pool with, you know, whether it's a heat pump or solar, do you need to service it more often? Or?
No, we talked about that with the sun. Obviously, when the temperature goes up in the pool,
you need to service
it more often. But what about a heat pump or a solar heated pool?
If you keep your pool at above 78 degrees all year long, then you want to treat it just like it's summertime all year long.
Just okay, so that applies to 8 to 6 p.m.
Right.
In the summer and winter is 10 to 4. Okay.
Right. So, and then a lot of people choose to heat up their pool because, you know what, it's a heck of a lot cheaper in Orlando. You know, turn your own backyard into your, your own little, you know, paradise.
Oh, mm-hmm. You're talking about like all the theme parks out there in Orlando?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know how long you've been since you've been there, but you go there and...
You still go?
Well, I haven't been in a few years, but the last time I went, feeling good, got maybe $1,000, $1,500 in your pocket. 2 days later, that cash is gone. So, Mickey's an expensive date, trust me. I mean, you know, just, you know, candy this. $5 for a soda, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, 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 you know.
Yeah, $10 so, you know, for a cup of coffee, yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah, regular T-shirt, that's $10. Oh, it's $30 there, you know.
Yeah, interesting. Tommy's looking at me funny. So, Tommy, we got another caller on the line?
Yes, Lisa.
Lisa. Hey, Lisa, welcome to the Ameritech Connection. What's your question?
Hi. Yeah, there's a black algae around my pool, and the pool company says they can't get rid of it. So are there any suggestions on how I can get rid of it?
That's interesting. We were just talking about that. Go ahead. Talk about the black algae again there.
Well, hello, Lisa. Yes, ma'am. If your pool company is not taking care of the situation, first thing I might recommend is call Gulfside Pools. But,
But we have him here as a guest. I'm telling you, we didn't even get a chance to plug him.
He's plugging himself. Yeah, I know. Yeah. What's up with the plugs? But getting back to seriousness, is that the what you want to do is it's actually a two-pronged attack. It's going to take me a couple minutes to explain this. So please, you know, maybe take some notes.
Try to do it in 30 seconds. We got to go with commercial break.
First, you want to super shock the pool, raise the chlorine level up really high. Then you want to go ahead and you want to get a steel tip brush. You want to brush all those black spots nice and thoroughly. Then you want to go ahead and turn off your pool pump, let the water get still. Then you want to go ahead and apply over all the black spots basically what's called 99% trichlor. Then, once you've done that, let that settle. Then what you'll do is you turn your pool pump back on, and then slowly pour in a quart of your silver algaecide. And then once you've done that, make sure that nobody swims in the pool for a minimum of 7 to 10 days. Let that chemical get in there. You might want to come back a couple days later, brush a little bit more if needed. But if that process is followed to a T, it hasn't failed me in many, many years.
Lisa?
So basically, I should just call you
because
I don't think I can do all that.
Good idea, Lisa.
Well said. That is a good idea. Okay. Well said.
Yeah, Liz, keep all tuning right. in. You'll hear his TV commercial or his radio commercial here in just a minute, and you'll be able to write his phone number down. Okay?
All right. Thanks.
Thanks for calling in.
Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you so much for calling. We're going to take a quick commercial break, folks. Keep listening. We'll be right back in 1-2 minutes.
Is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, Frank, thanks for inviting us to the pool party.
Hey.
What is that?
Oh, my pool? Yeah, I'm going for a natural Florida wildlife kind of thing.
Frank, no, man, you gotta call Gulfside Pools.
Daddy, watch me!
Jimmy, stop playing on that alligator.
Oh, it's not that bad.
Frank, it's bad. Gulfside does pool cleaning and repairs for commercial or residential. With over 50 years experience, they'll make your pool look, well, like a pool again. Call 813-626-3539. 813-626-3539. Or go to their website, gulfsidepools.com.
Mitchell Insurance Services has been providing superior insurance coverage and outstanding customer service since 1971. We specialize in the unique insurance needs of community associations and homeowners associations all across the state of Florida. Contact us today for a free policy assessment to ensure you have the right coverage and are getting the credits that you deserve. Contact us today at 727-360-8190 or visit us online at mitchellinsurancefl.com. Ensuring your community since 1971.
Don't stress it. Call Innovative Roofing. We handle all projects from minor repairs to re-roofing, as well as new installations. We pride ourselves for both quality and reliability, working hard to build lasting relationships with our clients. Innovative Roofing, building a reputation for being a company who makes a difference. Give us a call today, 813-909-0400. Again, that number is 813-909-0400.
904-909-0400.
Allegiance Development is a family-owned and operated business offering quality general contracting services in the greater Tampa Bay area. We offer a wide range of services, including commercial and residential construction, permitting, community stormwater management and repair, asphalt paving and maintenance, concrete restoration, disaster recovery, and much more. Our commitment and dedication applies to all projects, large or small. We have the expertise to offer fast and affordable solutions for all of your general contracting needs. Feel free to contact us at 727-584-1370 or visit our website at allegiancedevelopment.us.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Welcome back, folks, to the Ameritech Connection. And for those of you just tuning in, our guest today is Mike Hall, the owner of Gulfside Pools and Spas. And today's show is all about pools and spas and jacuzzis. So, Mike, I got a quick question for you. Painting the bottom of a pool, you know, I've heard a lot of people out there, they paint the bottom of their pools instead of remarsite or do it properly. What are your comments, and is that something you would recommend?
Absolutely not.
Okay, why?
Because once you paint the bottom of a pool, then what will happen is if you ever want to resurface that pool again, you will have to spend a bunch of extra money to either get that paint scraped off or sandblasted off to be able to resurface it. And also the paint, even in the best of applications, will start to chalk after about 3 to 4 years.
So when you get out, you're going to have white feet if you use white paint, right? Bottom of your feet are going to be white. Is that?
Pretty much.
Really?
Oh, yeah. A lot of people, it's a cheaper way to go about it, to spruce it up, but it's basically putting a Band-Aid on an open wound.
Right.
You know.
That's normally what you do.
Well, yeah, but, you know, if you got a deep cut, you want to go see a doctor. You know, I say, you know, resurfacing a pool, that's a deep cut, you know.
All right.
Okay, well, what's the difference between a chlorine pool and a saltwater pool? I know there's got to be advantages and disadvantages to the saltwater, so tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the advantages to having a salt pool, number one, is that we've all went swimming in a pool that's perfectly balanced. But when you get out, you kind of got that, I don't know, I guess kind of sticky, icky feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Chlorine feeling.
Yeah, you got to feel like you got to take a shower right away.
Right.
With a salt pool, you get out and you feel silky smooth. So that's the main
effect. It doesn't feel drying to your skin?
Absolutely not.
Oh, okay. Right. So it's soft.
What about when you're in the Gulf, you feel, you can taste.
Yeah, you do.
You open your eyes up underwater in the Gulf and you can't.
They sting.
Yeah, they sting. Salt water
is
very.
And your skin feels salty when you get out, when you dry. So.
Yeah, well, the thing is
I mean, does it feel the same way in a saltwater pool?
Absolutely not.
Yeah,
absolutely
I think there's more chemicals that kind of balance that.
Well, like I said, on the ocean has well over 40,000 parts per million salt.
Oh.
A tear in your eye generally has 4,000 parts per million. And most good pool companies, when they put in a salt system, will keep it right at about 35 to 4,500 parts per million. So it's basically you're swimming in water that kind of has the same salt content as a tear in your eye.
So it's not abrasive at all then?
No.
Okay. Interesting. Okay.
All right, Tommy, I think we've got quite a few callers on the line here.
Samara,
hi. Welcome to the Ameritech Connection. What's your question?
Hi. What's your personal opinion on pool toys? Our association does not allow toys at all in the pool.
Oh, okay. Mike?
Well, you know, in the years I've been doing this, which is quite a number of years, I've seen both sides. And sometimes, you know, that the reason why the association's clamped down on that is because not everybody is responsible as you would probably be, and they don't pick up after the kids. Now there's a bunch of toys and half-filled up floats floating and disrupting other people's enjoyment.
What about safety reasons, too? Is there safety issues because of pool toys?
Well, it can be in the most extreme circumstances. If a big pool float, like a big dinosaur or something, is half deflated, and there's a little kid that's just learning how to swim, and it's happy, parents take their eyes off of him for just a short time. Next thing you know, the kid's tangled up in it.
Oh, wow.
And that can cause a serious issue.
So there's some really legitimate reasons why commercial pools or condo associations or HOAs that have pools prevent or prohibit pool
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Hopefully we've answered your question there, Samara.
Well, do you allow any, toys in certain ones? Just curiosity. Well, are they all different?
I mean, like, I think the only thing would be like those little arm floaties for kids that are learning how to swim.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, some sort of
those
a floating
device. Those aren't going to be floating device. About, though,
right.
Hopefully.
Yeah, you know, things like that. Or I've seen at a lot of pools, you know, the kids will get like a little mini board or something. Or
just not the big giant ones.
Yeah, right, like the noodles. Right. I always get hit over the head with those noodles.
Right. But what
yeah.
usually,
Mike,
what,
he's...
Well, what messes things?
He's rowdy.
You guys party too much.
You go to Disneyland too much, spending big bucks. I mean,
$1,000.
No, that's why I don't go back.
$1,500 at Disneyland.
I'm poor now. But no. On a serious note, the main reason I've seen that a lot of associations will say no to toys. It's because the kids will leave like their little army men and things like that in the water, and that can potentially clog up the lines in the pool, and that can cause a big, you know, let's say adverse chain of effects to the operation of the pool.
Samara, I hope we answered your question. I mean, I think there's probably legitimate reasons why they prohibit pools or prohibit toys in pools.
No, you have. I appreciate your time.
All right. Well, thanks so much for calling.
Thank you so much. Hey, Mike, here's a different topic here. What's the best way to heat a pool and its cost? I mean, we talked a little bit about that, you know, earlier. There's a heat pump and then there's solar. I mean, there's a lot of people. I mean, in Florida, normally you don't need to heat the pool unless you want to use it year round. Now, especially, you know, us Southern boys. I mean, you're definitely a Southern boy, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Y'all.
But you want something that you can heat the pool where you can use it year round, right?
Yes.
What do you recommend?
Well, the best thing for the Tampa Bay environment would be an electric heat pump.
Isn't that kind of expensive, though?
Yeah.
The heat pump is rather expensive.
I mean, you're going to spend $400 or $500 a month heating that darn pool, aren't you?
Oh, no. Not unless you've got a really big pool.
I was going to say, depends on the size.
The way to do it is this, is that, say, an average Florida pool is about, 10,000 to 15,000 gallons. What I usually recommend to my customers is this. Put about $1.50, maybe $2 a day into a little account or jar or something, because obviously you're not going to turn on the heat pump during the summer. It's already too hot. But in the winter months, usually a good heat pump will cost you about $150 to $200 a month to keep that pool at what us Floridians say is a good temperature, which is about 88 to 90 degrees.
What about solar?
Solar is good if you want to extend your pool season, but generally it's not going to let you swim all year. Because the best the solar will ever do is heat the water 8 to 12 degrees warmer than it already is. And then in the winter months, a lot of times the water gets down to 50 to 55 degrees.
So there's no way you're going to be swimming in the wintertime anyway.
Not unless you're the polar bear club.
Exactly.
It wouldn't be for me, put it that way.
All right. Earlier I was talking about my neighbor's pool pump running. It's very, very loud, extremely annoying. Any suggestions as to does it have to be replaced at that point when it's loud like that, or can I just like take a sledgehammer I'm thinking about that. I'm seriously considering.
I seriously told her to go, you know, send him a nice little letter saying, look, I mean, this pool pump is loud.
It's very. I mean, you can hear it inside with your doors closed. So.
I would probably say the most diplomatic way would be maybe Sharon bake him up some cookies, take him over, and then say, you know, by the way, stop at Publix.
There
get
is
him
a
some
big
cookies.
Shop around, isn't there?
Yeah. And then go over and say, you know, by the way, you know, my window's right here. This is where, my house, and your pool pump is extremely, extremely noisy.
But I'd like to make a suggestion as to what's wrong. Does it have to be replaced, or is there component that needs to be...
We understand the diplomatic process
when it starts to make a...
We have a sofa here.
I'll try to be a nice guy.
You are a great guy.
Like I said, when it starts to make a loud grinding noise,
yes,
that pretty much that motor is on its way out.
But for the last year and a half,
gun? Maybe we should go over
It's on its way out for 2 years?
Will a pellet gun make it?
If it's grinding for a year and a half, that's pretty much an anomaly in the pool industry.
Really?
You know, there might be something else.
I just got lucky enough.
Live
next door to that.
Either way, we'll put it this way. It happened at my house, and I finally just, I went over, knocked on the door. I asked my neighbor, Andy. Said, Andy, her name's Andrea, but she likes Andy. Mm-hmm. I said, Andy,
Here's some cookies.
Here's some cookies. Yeah, and you know, by the way, your pump's kind of loud. You need to fix it. Well, she didn't really take any action.
I'm with a pool company called Pool. By the way, you know, I can do that for
you. So she's giving you a dirty look. So then you had a bottle of wine ready, right?
No. But I just said, you know, you need to fix it. And, you know, she really didn't fix it right away. So I just called the association. And they just went and sent her a letter.
I'm sure that neighbor loves you.
No, they're still cool. Andy's really cool, but her husband's just real cheap. That's all. You know, he'll run until it's almost dead. You know.
Hey, Tommy, do we got a call on hold there?
You have Scott up next.
All right. Hey, Scott, welcome to the Ameritech Connection. You're on the air. What's your question?
What's up, my country folks?
Hello there, Scott. Howdy do.
Hey, Mike Hall. How you doing, man? I'm a big fan of yours. I was actually born in Kansas and I grew up in Texas, but so I kind of heard some of that little slang, that little what's that little country twang you got in your voice?
That twang.
Yeah, but Scott, you don't have any twang going on there, so you're not a southern boy.
Did you lose it?
I got a little twang, but it just comes out in every other instance. You
got to be around more southern people, then it'll come out more pronounced.
Even Sharon has just a really slight country. She's probably from
she
Dallas.
She does, doesn't she? Yeah.
But it's good to know we got some good country down here taking care of our Florida pools.
Thank you, brother.
We appreciate that.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah. Anyways, I had a main question that Mike Perez actually already kind of asked, but so I got a community where I live at, and we were actually at the pool, the community pool, and the property manager is right there with me. We noticed that one of the kids had pooped in the pool. All the property manager did was just, you know, he took it out and pretty much called it a day. So I think Mike Perez asked this earlier. I mean, aren't you really supposed to shock it?
Well, you know, like I said, in the best of circumstances, you might be able to get away with, like, really shocking the pool. But again, remember, there's a lot of bacteria and things that can get into fecal waste. My strong recommendation would have been to go ahead and just close the pool immediately, because, you know, accidents do happen, but close it for public safety. Go ahead and get your professionals to come out there, drain it, give it a light acid wash, sanitize it properly, then go ahead and rebalance it. And then, like I said,
you don't want to have to call the health department, do you?
Well,
you're supposed to, though, right, Mike?
You're supposed to. But, I mean, you know, I mean, tit for tat, you know, if you just jump on it and close it right away.
Well, the manager did jump on it. He scooped it right out.
Well, that's, I guess you could say that. But I think I would have did a little bit different approach.
Yeah. Well, in front of everybody, obviously.
Right, exactly. Because, again, what if somebody gets pink eye or something like that from that fecal matter?
Now you're
looking at a lawsuit.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, chlorine doesn't kill everything. You know,
it's interesting.
Yeah, there's certain bacteria. Well, think of it like this. I watch a lot of Science Channel, but there's bacteria that live in volcanic stacks underneath the water. So if they can live in that environment, they sure as heck can live in fecal matter in your pool.
Wow, interesting. Yeah. Well, Scott, I hope we answered your question.
Yeah, just kind of this whole segment about this fecal matter reminds me of a classic movie. You guys have probably seen it. It's called Caddyshack.
Absolutely. One of my favorites.
Yep.
That's an old classic.
Someone notices a turd floating in the water, and they're all panicking. And the lifeguard jumps in. He takes it out and sniffs it and takes a bite out of it because it was an actual baby Ruth.
Right. Yeah, that's a classic.
Thank you, Scott, for sharing that with us. I mean, you know, I like that. We got great visuals here.
Now I'm hungry.
Anyways, good show. Thank you for taking my call.
Hey, thanks for calling in, Scott. Keep listening. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Scott.
Yeah, man.
All right. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick 2-minute commercial break. We're going to be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
When you need legal help, you want a lawyer you can trust, someone with experience, knowledge, wisdom, and compassion. At Pilk & Associates, we pride ourselves in providing you with the personal attention and consideration your legal issues deserve. We can help plan long-term goals for your family or your business and handle unexpected legal issues that arise suddenly. We're a full-service law firm with nearly 3 decades of legal experience. We are dedicated to serving your legal needs. Please call for a free consultation at 813-759-3285 or feel free to email us at law@pilka.com. We look forward to serving your legal needs.
Sun Paints and Coatings is your hometown paint store, family owned and operated for over 40 years. Sun Paints has 6 locations throughout Hillsborough, Pinellas, and Pasco counties. Sun Paints and Coatings manufactures Daico brand paints in Tampa and is an authorized distributor of Benjamin Moore and PPG Paints. Sun Paints and Coatings works closely with property management companies, HOAs, condo associations, and individual homeowners, helping ensure a great project. Trust the experts at Sun Paints and Coatings. Sun Paints is the best paint under the sun. Visit us at sunpaintsandcoatings.com.
Hey, Frank, thanks for inviting us to the pool party.
Hey!
What is that?
Oh, my pool? Yeah, I'm going for a natural Florida wildlife kind of thing.
Frank, no, man, you gotta call Gulfside Pools.
Daddy, watch me!
Jimmy, stop playing on that alligator.
Oh, it's not that bad.
Frank, it's bad. Gulfside does pool cleaning and repairs for commercial or residential. With over 50 years experience, they'll make your pool look, well, like a pool again. Call 813-626-3539. 813-626-3539. Or go to their website, gulfsidepools.com.
Do you serve on the board of a condominium association? Or how about a homeowners association? Here's a well-known fact. Page & Company are probably the best accounting firm for community associations. With over 18 years of experience specializing in audits, reviews, compilations, and tax returns, you must get a quote from Page & Company for your association's financial reporting requirements. So give Page & Company Certified Public Accountants a call at 727-726-2785. Get the personal service you deserve.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Ameritech Connection. And for those of you just tuning in, our guest today is Mike Hall. He's the owner of Gulfside Pools and Spas. And we're talking about pools, spas, and jacuzzis. So, Mike, let's talk a little bit about resurfacing pools. What's the process there?
Well, the process would be first to go ahead and pick your palette of what type of surface that you would like. Mm-hmm. Once we've done that, then the pool needs to be prepped properly. What that involves is basically draining the pool carefully. Once you get to the bottom, of course, taking out the plug so that way there's no hydrostatic pressure to pop up a pool. Then what you want to do is actually, if you're not going to change the tile, grind underneath all the tile. Anything protruding in or out of the pool, you want to actually go ahead and grind around it because you are putting a new surface on top of an old. You also want to acid wash that surface, you know, with straight acid to rough it up.
Let's hope there's no paint on there, but go ahead.
Yeah, that's the bad thing. Right. Mm-hmm. Then you want to go ahead and any good quality person is going to use a synthetic product called Bond Coat. Oh. What that does, it you roll it on, and it makes sure that the new surface adheres to the old, like concrete.
Right.
That way you don't have any mishaps or anything like that.
Right. Now, you mentioned pool popping, which is probably an interesting question. Now, I know when you drain a pool, you probably got to tap the pool. Talk a little bit about what tapping a pool means, and does pools actually pop, and what causes them to pop?
What causes them to pop is hydrostatic pressure that's built up underneath the pool. The way to avoid that situation is to go ahead, when the pool is still about a third of the way full, you want to wade out into the water, and you want to take off the bottom drain. Usually at the bottom drain, there's actually a 2-inch plug, and they, of course, you know, they make a plug popping tool. You actually unscrew that plug, then you want to actually take your screwdriver or maybe a piece of long rebar, kind of, you know, stick it into the hole right there just to make sure that way if there's any hydrostatic pressure, it'll come out of that hole.
So you're releasing the pressure by doing that?
Absolutely.
Right.
So they actually pop then?
It can happen.
Okay. All right. Is there such a thing as pool popping insurance?
Absolutely. Anybody that drains pools should always have pool popping insurance.
Well, that's interesting. So anybody that drains pools or anybody that hires a company to drain a pool should make sure they have pool popping insurance, like Gulfside Pool and Spa, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Good
that
answer.
That was a pool popping plug.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
I like it. I like
it. I know.
No, from what I've heard, is that your homeowner's insurance, if you were to drain the pool yourself and it pops up, most policy won't cover that homeowner.
No, that's true.
So you're pretty much stuck.
Oh,
now you've got to demolish a pool. Well, it's like building two pools.
Oh. Yeah,
you got to demolish a pool, haul it away, then build a whole nother pool.
Which could be $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, right?
Upwards of 50.
Oh, yeah.
Upwards of 50.
Oh, I would think so. Okay. All right, Tommy, I think we have some more callers on the line.
Yep, Mary is next.
Mary, hi. Welcome to the Ameritech Connection. What's your question tonight?
Hi, how are you?
Good, good.
We have a community pool and jacuzzi. Uh-huh. And the maintenance worker has been telling a few homeowners, including myself, that he's been finding condoms in the jacuzzi.
Oh, no.
Now, how bad is that? And, you know, is it still safe to go in the jacuzzi? Should it be drained?
Well, I'm not sure I would go in the jacuzzi finding a condom, right?
Mike, what do you think?
That would be one jacuzzi I would avoid. the best way to handle that situation, what I've seen done, because that's not a rare instance, to be honest with you, is actually put up cameras.
I'm not sure you want to put up cameras. I mean, now you got.
Oh, absolutely. Because once you put that on TV, that somebody's in there, threaten to do it, those people won't do that ever again.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Because you know, I mean, how do you control your neighbor? You know.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, but go ahead.
But
and what about now? The maintenance worker tells us that he maintains the pool and the chemicals and everything. Is that legal? Can he do that?
He can if he's CPO certified. CPO stands for Certified Pool Operator. That is a class that you have to take and pass a test, and then actually you have to renew that about, I think, every 5 years.
Right. But let me ask you something. If they're having sex in the pool, right, shouldn't you drain, or sex in the jacuzzi, shouldn't you drain the jacuzzi entirely?
Absolutely.
I mean,
drain it and scrub it.
Yeah, drain it and scrub it, and you know, I hear you.
Fill it back up and rebalance.
And now you're suggesting cameras, and then put signs all over the place that there's audio and video surveillance going on here, and that's
absolutely
that's your deterrent.
Absolutely,
that is a deterrent.
Right? Yes,
I would hope.
Yep, absolutely, because you know most people really don't want everybody to see their business.
Exactly.
That's a good way of putting it.
It's probably some young kids that, you know, think it's funny and, you know, having a good time. You know?
Yeah.
But it's still, you know, it's not good for the general community in the whole.
Oh, no.
And, you know,
no,
we've all been kids and done crazy things. But, you know, I think something like that needs to, like I said earlier, a really stern talking to.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, Mary, I hope we've answered your question.
I'm going to tell the maintenance worker he needs to drain the jacuzzi.
You might want to tell the board, too, what's going on and maybe suggest cameras and signs, you know?
Yeah.
All okay, right. Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much for calling, Mary.
Thanks for calling, Mary.
Okay, so let's talk about some fun things. Pool lights, they're cool, right? I mean, they come in colors and all that. So colored lights, what are some of the different colors and how does it make a change in the pool?
It actually spruces up the pool greatly. Because what you're mostly referring to is the LED lights.
Yeah, and is that easily changed out?
Yes, it is.
Without getting electrocuted, of course.
Well, you want to definitely turn off the breakers first.
Okay.
But once you've done that, there's really no chance of getting electrocuted. And, of course, there's a rhythm to it.
A rhythm?
Yeah, well, I mean, a way to do it. You know, when I say rhythm, I guess
I was
going to
say, I thought you were going to get up there
wrong adjective,
do a little dance there before you.
Well, you want to have music on.
This is underwater, too.
But, no, like I say, but you basically you pull the light out, and then it, of course, attached an electrician's fish tape to it. Then you want to pull it back through the conduit.
So, really, the light itself is encased anyways.
Yes, it has to be by law.
Right.
You know, because you can't have even small amounts of electricity because, you know, water's a conductivity of electricity. But I can't say enough about a LED light because it's so much fun for the family.
Oh, I think so.
You can turn the pool blue. You can turn it violet.
So you got all sorts of colors.
And you can actually have green, changing to the different colors.
Green on St. Patty's Day, red on Halloween. And then they have usually most of them have like a couple of different modes where, you know, goes all over the place.
What
like
about
a party mode?
What about the surface itself? I mean, you can paint it or you can remarsite it different colors, correct?
Yes.
I mean, which is really going to give it kind of a cool effect, too.
It can.
You were telling me earlier that some pools, they actually marsited it black.
Yes, black kind of have a lake effect, you know.
Yeah, that was actually real popular about 10 to 15 years ago. But that's actually falling to the wayside, guys.
I mean, it's got.
I would think that it would heat the pool a little bit too, right?
It does help keep the pool a little bit warmer. But what people have found is this: when they go to resell their house, the new owners most of the time are not pool people, and then when they look at it, it looks scary to them.
Well, yeah, it looks like it's dirty.
Yeah, it looks scary because
you don't know what's in that pool, right?
Well,
jaws.
There
all
could
over
be those things floating around.
What I've heard and a lot of people say was, well, how do I know if a snake or something is in this pool?
That's true.
You know? Right.
So, you know, the darker colors are kind of falling to the wayside. The lighter colors with, like, blue speckles in them are usually the most popular.
Okay. Interesting.
All right. Well, good. All right. We have some more callers on the line, right, Tommy?
Yeah. Vanessa is next.
Hello, Vanessa. Welcome to the Ameritech Connection. What's your question?
Well, my question is, it seems like at the association I live at, every summer the water turns green, and then they have to close the pool for a while, and I like to go to the pool every day, so I don't like it being closed at all. So is this something that our pool company's not doing right?
That's interesting, because we talked about the sun earlier.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So if in the summertime, Mike, right?
That's frustrating.
It gets really hot, the sun sucks the chlorine out of the pool, correct?
Right, but the pool company should actually be taking care of that. And like I said, even if it's a commercial pool, even if they get phosphate residual high in it, you should be able to treat it slowly and maintain that pool being open. Because we've been taking care of pools for a long time.
No, but they should amp service up in the summertime, correct?
Yeah, summer and winter, I strongly recommend 3 times a week service.
Right, or even more.
Yeah, if it's a real big pool,
right. Very
that's
busy.
Highly swamped, a lot of people busy, like you just said, Sharon, sometimes 5 days a week is what's needed.
Wow.
And like I said, the more traffic, the more people, you know, and the more, you know, cleanup there is. So that's an all of life, you know. But like I said, if that pool is turning green, first thing to do, Vanessa, is call Gulfside Pools at 813-626-3539. And let us give you an estimate to take care of your pool.
Well, thank you so much, Mike, for that plug.
All right. Thank you for calling in, Vanessa.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right, folks, next week we are going to deviate a little bit from our normal topics because we have a very special guest and a great entertainer, Mr. Joey D. He has starred in several feature films and has had one hit after another, like, for instance, Peppermint Twist. Joey has toured all over the world, and he's going to get us up to speed on what's new in his world, and we're going to talk about his amazing career. That and much more next week on the Ameritech Connection. Keep listening, folks. We'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Ameritech Community Management is a local management company servicing the Tampa Bay area for over 20 years. We are proud of our company and continue to provide professional and courteous service to our clients. After 20 years, we still manage our very first community association. If you are in need of a top-notch community management team for your property, give us a call today, 727-726-8000. That's 727-726-8000. Or visit our website at ameritechcompanies.com.
Hey, you.
Who, me?
Not you, the hot one.
Hi, what can I do for you?
Aren't you that lady that's on that radio show called the Ameritech Connection?
Why, yes, I am. We're live every Thursday at 5 p.m. on Tan Talk Radio Network. Right, Mike?
That's right, Sharon. Live in a condo or homeowners association? You have issues. How about questions? We cover it all and more. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m.
What time again?
That's 5 p.m. every Thursday on Tan Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
Well, that wraps up our show for today. Sharon and I both would like to thank you so much for tuning in. And remember, without you, Ameritech has no connection.
That's so true. And we also appreciate all the feedback and all the listeners that take the time to call in and ask the questions. So don't forget, every Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m., it's the Ameritech Connection on the Tan Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
And if you're looking for a good property management company, look no further. Give us a call at Ameritech. I promise you, you won't be sorry. We would greatly appreciate the opportunity to become your next property management company.
So don't forget, every Thursday between 5 and 6 p.m., it's the Ameritech Connection.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk again next week.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.